I think so often runners get so results oriented that they forget about the journey, the middle parts. You know, it's really not the finish line that you remember or the time. You know, you don't remember that. You remember the people. You remember the person you became in the process of overcoming obstacles or running distances you've never done before.
Welcome to the Runners Connect Run to the Top podcast, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. So together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now, here's your host, Tina Muir.
Hello, this is Tina Muir. Thank you so much for being here with me today for the latest episode of the Run to the Top podcast. I know there's so many ways you could spend your time, so thank you so much for taking the time to tune in, whether you're out on your run, doing chores, or whatever it may be. I know there's so many things that we could be doing, so thank you. One of the topics that came up in the request for episodes when I got you to fill out the survey last year was to learn more about the Runners Connect staff and their stories, along with explaining what Runners Connect is all about. I know we can kind of be confusing sometimes, and we've never really explained it. So today we're going to hit both of those by interviewing the person who knows it best. Well, maybe not best. I think our founder, Jeff Gaudet, does that. But pretty close behind is one of our coaches, Jamie Dodge. She's led to hundreds of PRs in her years as a coach and really has a great story. She struggled with Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune disease that has many adverse side effects. I didn't even know what it was until I interviewed Jamie. I think you're really going to appreciate the struggle she talks about and how to still make sure you can live a happy and active life and maybe even make it go into remission. So if you missed last week, you'll make sure to go back and listen to Mark Kennedy, who's the owner and podcast host of Healthynomics. If you haven't checked that out, make sure you do. But until then, let's go talk to Jamie and see what she has to say. This sounds silly saying it, but welcome to the Run to the Top podcast, Jamie.
Oh, thank you for having me, Tina. It's a pleasure.
It's funny having you on here. It seems a bit strange. You're my coworker. You're someone who knows Runners Connect probably better than I do. But today we wanted to hear a little more about you and your background. That is one of the things people requested. So can you just share maybe a brief running background or history for you?
Yeah, actually was a high school runner, but at the time when I ran in high school, I really didn't take running seriously. I kind of did it to be with my friends. Mm-hmm. And I was more of a cheerleader in high school. And so I just wanted to be on the bus with my friends. So I didn't really apply myself. And I remember being on the cross country team and I was one of the top five, but I was more than happy to give up that spot if somebody else on my team was working hard. I would back off, help them through it. I really had no competitive drive. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be with my friends. So then I didn't run after high school. I went to college and I would run for fun, just for stress relief in college, but not much else. And then like the young adult life and professional life started. And I really didn't run much then either. It wasn't until I got pregnant with my son and wanted to lose the baby weight that I came back to running. And it came back really easy. And I ran my first half marathon, not even knowing what a half marathon was. I showed up and I was like, some people at work did half marathons and I want to do one of those because I can lose baby weight. And I had no idea it was 13 miles. And it was some older lady. She like coached me through that first half marathon and she pushed me and told me what to do. And I was so confused and I can't believe I did it. And then I just kind of got addicted and was like, okay, love this. And I kept running half marathons and, I wasn't really interested in the marathon yet. And everybody would say, you got to do a marathon. You got to do a marathon. And I wasn't until after my daughter was born. I think she was about three when I ran my first marathon. And I had this idea in my head that the marathon should take you 4 hours. and so I was like, okay, I'm going to go run a 4-hour marathon. And for my first marathon, I think it was 4:05. And I was so upset that I didn't run a 4-hour marathon that I went back 4 weeks later and found another marathon to do, and I ran 4:01. And then 4 weeks later, I went back and ran under a 4. So I ran 3 marathons in 3 months my first time out, and I was just really addicted to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had no training. Like, I had no, like, I don't know. The internet wasn't really around then. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess it was, but it wasn't. And so I didn't have a lot of resources to know what I was doing. And then after that, I really got interested in running and the physiology and everything behind it. So I just delved deep and read every book I could get my hands on. I did the RRCA training program, but still I really didn't know as much as I wanted to know. Mm-hmm. And in that process, there wasn't anybody locally for me to run with. So I started training program to get other runners. It was mainly because I wanted people to run with. And everybody asked me, how do you train for marathons and half marathons? So that's when I started coaching, and I started with like 13 people in my first training group. And a year later, it was unmanageable for one person. I had about 120 some people.
Wow, that's impressive.
I know. And I loved it, but in the process coaching, I kind of squelched my own dreams because I really wanted to qualify for Boston, but training that many people kind of not got in the way, but you can't chase two rabbits. Mm-hmm. So I decided I really want to qualify for Boston, so I need to back down with the coaching. And that's when I connected with Jeff. Mm-hmm. He became my coach. And so Jeff coached me for about 2 years. And he got me through my first Boston qualifier. Mm-hmm. and stuff. So yeah, so that's how I came to be with, started coaching. So I stopped coaching for a while. And then about 2 years ago, I started working with Jeff at Runners Connect.
Yeah. And you've had such a huge influence since. And I found it kind of funny that you said, when you first started, it was kind of, you didn't really know what a half marathon was, and you just kind of did it for fun and for social the rest of your life. But I think actually that's kind of a unappreciated part of running. Like, we often focus too much on the results, but at the end of the day, for so many people and for all of us really, a lot of it should be about the social aspect. So it's kind of cool to hear you say that and see how it's like slowly hooked you in and you know, how your relationship with it has grown. Then you have a bit of a different running background to a lot of other listeners, but some of our listeners may be able to relate to this, and you may be able to give them a lot of good advice here. So you have Hashimoto's, and I had no idea what this was before I started talking to you, and I'm sure a lot of other listeners may have heard of it but not sure what it is. So could you kind of explain what it is and how that affected you as a runner?
Yeah. I have an autoimmune disease, and it's called Hashimoto's. It's a thyroid disorder. It started to show up several times ago, but maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I was training under Jeff, and I was doing extremely well, and then I wasn't anymore. And it was like, all of a sudden, it wasn't all of a sudden. It was like maybe a few weeks where I wasn't running well, and then a week where I was, and it just was this inconsistency, of training, to where some weeks were really great and some runs were really great, and then some were so bad. And then I was just losing energy and gaining weight, which was weird because I was running more than I'd ever run. And then my tune-up braces were just abominably horrible. They just didn't measure up with some of my better workouts. And I first thought, it was iron. So I went to the doctors and had labs checked, and she ran a complete metabolic panel. And she ran a test called the THS test, which is run on most females, around pregnancy. It measures how well the thyroid is functioning. So my THS test was really high, which said my thyroid was not functioning well. Mm-hmm. So And then we had another panel, a further panel done. It's called a full thyroid panel. And that came out that I had antibodies towards thyroid. And that is significant because it says that when your body develops antibodies, it's saying that it's attacking a tissue or an organ in your body. Mm-hmm. And particularly my body was producing antibodies against the thyroid. So I was having autoimmune attacks, which made my thyroid function have a low functioning. Yeah, that's kind of how we found it.
And so how did you, was it the iron, questioning your iron that made you kind of decide to actually get it checked? Because I could imagine, you know, with training, just for most of us, we have up and down weeks, good and bad workouts. So how did you kind of decide that this wasn't just general fatigue?
Yeah, because it lasted for a really long time.
Okay.
And it was getting to the point where I wasn't recovering from workouts anymore. Like it would be like, yeah, I had a bad workout here and there, but and before this stretch, I had occasional bad workouts, but this was to the point where I was just hitting my head against the wall, just having no idea why the fatigue was so bad.
Mm-hmm. And it was sudden, right? You said that you never really had that when you were younger.
Yeah, I had never noticed. I mean, but I think what's great, the great part is that had I not been running at a high level, I might not have noticed it so early. You know, some people will have Hashimoto's and they say it's pretty silent in the body for a while. But because I was demanding a lot of my body, mm-hmm. I was noticing that it wasn't performing anywhere like it used to.
Okay.
And so I actually think it was a saving grace because we were able to catch it so early.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't catch it until there's a lot of damage done to the thyroid.
Interesting. So when you were kind of figuring this out, what would you say, like, is there something you can do now? Or what would you say was, you know, fundamental kind of helping you move on with this, like dealing with it?
Because I was so early in the disease, there wasn't a lot of damage done to the thyroid. Like they do an ultrasound on your thyroid and they can see how much of the tissue has been damaged from the autoimmune attack. And mine was very minimal. They could see a tiny bit of scar tissue, but it was early onset Hashimoto's. So if you can stop the autoimmune attack, then you can regain thyroid function and kind of go into remission. And that was the goal. I tried medications. They just didn't work for me because I had a really bad reaction. So we went in kind of the natural route and kind of use nutrition to. So that's why I chose to go on a gluten-free diet.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll go into the gluten-free in a second. I kind of want to hear about that. But just for anyone listening right now who may be kind of nodding along thinking that this seems eerily familiar to them, so you would recommend people go get blood work done, kind of check in with your doctor if you think something isn't right.
Yeah, definitely. If you have consistent periods of training where you're feeling lethargic, energy, gaining weight, gaining weight or losing hair, or feeling sad and depressed. I mean, they're classic symptoms that you can sweep under the rug pretty easy because you think, oh, I'm tired. I'm supposed to be tired. Or I'm a mom. I'm supposed to be this tired. I have a lot going on. So, you know, you definitely get it checked.
Yeah. Okay. And then was there a time during this period that you considered kind of giving up or, you know, you kind of thought, oh, you know, I'm just not meant to run? Or did that never really cross your mind?
That never crossed my mind. I'm saving grace that I love running so much. that I was always looking for a way back to it. Like there was no way that running was not going to be my forever after. So I think that's the saving grace, is that I was just constantly looking for a way to get back to running.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep, that makes sense. And as you mentioned, a gluten-free diet was part of the change you had to make. So can you kind of explain to us what that involves, like what a typical day of meals looks like for you, and just a bit more about it?
Yeah. One of the reasons why I chose to do gluten-free diet is because there's a strong link between autoimmune diseases and gluten intolerance. And many people who have Hashimoto's and Graves' disease, which is another form of thyroid disease, have gluten intolerance issues. And it shows up because there's a protein in gluten that's molecularly structure, the structure of the protein is very similar to the thyroid gland. So mm-hmm. when you eat gluten, your body says, oh, let's produce antibodies. And then it attacks the thyroid.
Oh, okay.
And so you want to do, the goal is to reduce the amount of antibodies that your body produces, because then it will stop attacking the thyroid. So not introducing gluten into your diet lessens the amount of antibodies that your body produces.
Okay.
So that's the goal. So just removing gluten. I noticed about 3 months after removing gluten that I stopped having the autoimmune attacks.
Okay. So you really think that was the fundamental change for you, the diet?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause about 3 months, my body kind of healed itself and I went off all the thyroid medications and I was able to start running at the level that I used to again.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And my energy levels were back. Yeah. I've had minor, you can go in and out of Hashimoto's disease. Like it can go in and out of remission. And every time I've kind of come out of or had what we call a Hashimoto's attack, it's always been if I've accidentally ingested gluten.
Interesting. So even a small amount now is enough to trigger it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I accidentally went, about 4 months back, I accidentally ate a meal that I thought was on a gluten-free menu. And it wasn't gluten. And it the effects lasted 3 weeks. So.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's important. And what recommendations would you have to runners who are considering giving gluten-free a try? I mean, obviously you said that after 3 months you got back to the level you were running-wise, but what about other recommendations you would make?
In terms of how to approach Hashimoto's?
Or how to approach gluten-free if you were going to go gluten-free.
Mm-hmm. I think it was super scary thinking, oh, I have to give up gluten. What am I going to eat? I kind of always tell people there's life after gluten. I eat everything. There's so many gluten-free options, gluten-free pastas. There's so many options out there that you really don't miss it that much. The only thing that I really miss is real pizza. But I wouldn't choose to eat gluten for anything now. So
it's once you get used to it, you kind of just, you don't really notice it anymore. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
To just go for it would probably be your advice then.
Yeah. Just clean, because there's no halfway point with gluten. It's not like you can have a little bit of gluten and be okay. Any part of gluten gets in your system and it can cause an autoimmune attack. So you have to be, you have to just go cold turkey and get off it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you for the advice there. Let's kind of switch topics for now and talk a bit more about some of the things you've done. So you have run races as a pacer, and I'm sure some of our other runners listening have either done this themselves or kind of thought about it. So can you kind of share what it's like racing, running a race as a pacer? Would you recommend it? And just what your thoughts on it are?
Oh, yeah. Those were actually some of my best marathon experiences. They're wonderful experiences just to share that day with other people, engaging, pep talking them, keeping people on track. I mean, I love it. I mean, I don't know if it's the coaching part in me or the cheerleader part of me, but I've enjoyed those experiences. Mm-hmm. I've coached I've paced anywhere from a 4 hour to a 5 hour marathon. So,
yep. And you would definitely recommend people give it a try at least once.
Yeah. Definitely. Sometimes it's great, better to run for somebody else than yourself. It's the best experience when you know that you've helped somebody else do something that they really struggling to do.
Mm-hmm.
So to take part in that, as well as giving people the, I would be cautious for other people, for runners to join a pace group. I really think you need to make sure you have a great pacer. My experience pacing marathons is that not everyone who's pacing necessarily knows what they're doing. And I had a co-pacer and she didn't know what she was doing. And I've experienced other pacers not being great. So I would always caution runners to to talk to the Pacers beforehand, see what their strategies are, see if you click with them personally, and decide whether or not you are going to join the Pace group, because they don't always work out, but for me, they have.
Okay, well, that's good. Hopefully next time you are a Pacer, you'll have a big group of people around you who some of the people listening end up being in that group. And then you mentioned about it being a great experience, and, you know, kind of what I know of you is you believe running is all about the experience, and you kind of proved that this morning. So I just wanted you to kind of tell us some of the reasons you think it's more about the experience, like maybe about how it changes us as people, or why it's better to focus on the experience than the result, or what you've found about that topic.
Yeah. I actually, you know, it's funny. I think I wrote something a few months ago about this in the newsletter that Runners Connect members get. But I think so often runners get so results oriented that they forget about the journey, the middle parts. You know, it's really not the finish line that you remember, or the time. You know, you don't remember that. You remember the people. You remember the person you became in the process of overcoming obstacles or running distances you've never done before. You remember the people that made it possible. You remember the people you meet out on the course. Like, when you finish a marathon, most people are not talking about their PR. They're like, oh, and this happened, and this happened, and I met this person, and this person said this. And that's what people remember. And I mean, I know that anybody who finishes a race, a half marathon, 5K, whatever distance, they always want to talk about all those things that happened in the course of that journey, right, to the finish line. And, you know, so I think that it's stepping back and just enjoying the journey to wherever you're going, because you're going to get there. But, you know, take a step back and say, I'm going to enjoy the process of becoming, and not, you know, the process of becoming whatever, you know, a marathoner, PQer, whatever you're going to become, you're going to get there. But take a step back and enjoy it, because it makes it so much more rewarding.
And what would you say then to people who are injured right now listening to this about enjoying that journey? And, you know, that's part of your journey.
Yeah, it is part of your journey. And like, it's like, you have to take it. It's like taking the long-term view. The injury, nobody wants an injury. Nobody says, give me an injury, but you become a better runner in the process. You know, I never like to see one of our runners or members injured, like, you know, but I know that they're becoming a better runner. I know that they're going to, you know, if they're having plantar fasciitis or issues, I know that they're going to learn tools that are going to help them down the road. It's just, you just have to take a long-term view, try to enjoy whatever, you know, like the PT, like enjoying going to the PT appointments, enjoying the cross training. Nobody really enjoys that, but you know, there's certain satisfaction of getting through those hard spots.
Definitely,
you know,
definitely. I definitely agree. And then what would your advice be to someone who is listening right now and saying, oh, you know, I love that you're saying it's all about the experience and who you become and everything, but I currently am obsessed with looking at my time and pace. And how would you suggest people kind of get out of that mentality?
Oh yeah, I encounter this so much on Runners Connect. And I think that I try to do it gently as a coach. I try to encourage them to run without a watch. I try to give them examples of other runners who maybe are as fast as they are or want to be, and how slow they actually run. I try just lots of nudging, like in the right direction. And I definitely see them eventually like let go of pace, you know? And I talk a lot about effort a lot, and how, because people are very focused on pace, and the body doesn't know pace. The body knows effort. Yeah. So go out there and put in the right effort, and then step back and just effort after effort. Eventually you get to where you want to be. And if you're focused on, well, I didn't hit this pace, and that this week none of my workouts went right, then it's your mind. You just got to keep going, you know, and mm-hmm. keep trying to put in effort after effort and not be so focused on the pace.
Yeah.
Because it all works out.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, no, that does make good sense. And it kind of shows the coaching aspect of you in that, you know, you, like you said, the little nudges help. And I think that shows the importance of the community. Would you say that's something for someone if they are out running on their own, you know, training on their own like you were, to find some kind of community that you can kind of confer with, and someone like with an outside perspective, like you mentioned, either you or some other coach, to actually say to you, give you those nudges? Would you recommend that for people?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that a lot of, I see a lot of people completely transformed in terms of the runner they are on Runners Connect. Like when they first started, I could have, you know, they were very obsessed with their easy pace. And you can see now a lot of them were like, oh, I didn't care. I didn't wear a watch. I don't really know. And so you can kind of see the transformation, and you can, I almost can tell how long they've been with Runners Connect by how like relaxed they are about their, you know, their paces and their efforts and such. And, you know, by our newer ones, it's like they have to go through a transition period where they learn that we don't focus so much on the easy pace, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they kind of see, oh, it doesn't matter how fast I run on easy days, you know? So you kind of can see that evolution,
yeah.
You know?
I've kind of always said that with a GPS watch, how everyone, when they get a GPS watch, goes through the obsession with it. But then most people make it out the other side to where they can have it on their watch without staring at it. But you kind of almost have to go through that period where you're obsessed with it for a little while. So
yeah,
kind of seems like that. So then let's look into Runners Connect coaching, because I know, you know, a lot of people listening aren't really sure about how it works or kind of what it is. So could you kind of explain what Runners Connect coaching involves?
Yeah. So if people who sign up for the membership, they get a customized training plan, as well as they have access to the group of coaches, which there's four of us, five of us, including Jeff. And we alternate days that we work so that members get to have access and exposure to all of our point of views. And so once they get their plan, they kind of have access to the community as well, where they can post their workouts and get feedback from not only the coaches, but the communities, and they can start following each other's training. And I think that following each other's training allows them to kind of cheer each other on, get feedback, you know. And it's really neat to see runners who have been with the program along, the banter between them. They really develop personal relationships, and they get vested in each other's training. And it's a great camaraderie and a great place to go, come and talk running when your spouse or your kids don't want to talk to you about running anymore.
No, that makes total sense. And it always warms my heart to whenever I log into the forum and the chat. It's just amazing to see how much support there is. And you know, Jamie mentioned it, but it really is like that. I love seeing it and how everyone is just so supportive of one another. If one person has a bad workout, you'll see 20, 30 people comment on there saying, it's okay, you know, I remember I had that workout and I really struggled, and you'll make it through. And it, or if they had, you know, a great race, like when we celebrate a runner each week on Tuesdays, you see, you know, maybe 40 people comment on the status saying, you know, congratulations, you worked so hard for this. So it really is a community. And I think the people out there listening who don't have a training group, or like Jamie said, your family isn't interested in it, it's something that really is important. And it's just great to have that online community. And I know people, online gets a lot of bad press because, oh, well, you know, we're not interacting with each other. But when it comes to running and the support and the community, it's just something that's so huge.
Yeah, because whether you're a 5K runner and you're a beginner or you're a marathoner, you know, we all feel the same things and struggle, have the same struggles. And we all know what a bad day feels like. So it's definitely, you do see that the support of the members supporting each other on those bad days, or the good days, they're really celebrating each other.
Yes, absolutely.
And because a lot of the workouts are very similar. People have had, like you said, they've had that workout, so they know what that workout feels like or how hard that a specific workout may be. So they're, you know, they're able to like give that support, and that means a lot to the runners to get that nice job or the pat in the back from somebody else who's run the workout.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And then could you just kind of explain the different levels that are available for runners? You know, the various price point, you don't have to mention the exact cost. We'll save that for the website if people check it out.
Yeah. But,
just like the levels of support that people can choose to have.
Yeah. There's custom training plans through Runners Connect that are not, that people don't choose to be a part of the community. And then there is the community Runners Connect membership, which is being part of the community where you get your customized training plan and the support of all the coaches. And then the highest level is personal coaching, where you have an assigned coach, but you also have access to the community.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know. And you kind of mentioned this already, but this isn't just for elites or, you know, Boston qualify runners. This could be for, you know, like you said, someone just beginning with their first 5K or someone, you know, shooting for a 6-hour marathon. You work with all levels?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I think that having a coach, regardless of your level, especially if beginners, I definitely think it's helpful because they don't have a lot of experience. They don't maybe know somebody that can help them through, you know, going through all the things that a beginner has to go through. Having a coach to say, yeah, that's normal. You're going to experience some fatigue. Yes, mm-hmm. It's normal to maybe have tight calves. This is how you're going to have to work through that. And the guidance that a beginner is going to need. And so then also people who are working towards their first marathon, being able to like get the information they need to run that first marathon. And regardless if it's a 3-hour marathon or a 6-hour marathon. You know, looking towards PRs and BQs, those, being able to push and know when to push outside your comfort zone, mm-hmm. having a coach is essential for that.
Okay. And then from someone who, you know, you said that you kind of retook up running and you just kind of were doing your own thing. And then you decided that you needed a coach. What would you like to say to listeners who are thinking, oh, you know, I'm fine on my own. I've been running for years. I don't need a coach to tell me what to do. Do you have any thoughts for someone like that of how they would benefit?
Oh, yeah. I kind of kept, when I decided to get a coach and start working with Jeff, I kind of plateaued. I was doing fine. But I had wanted to run a Boston qualifying time. And what I had known at the time, I didn't know enough at the time to help me get to Boston. And then that's when I started working with Jeff, and he quickly could see what I was doing wrong and what I could do better. And it was so helpful to have him, his guidance. I mean, he's coached hundreds of people to Boston, so he had insight and he had a way to get me there, and he got me there. So, mm-hmm. And he coached me for 2 years. So I think what's great is that is pretty much like an apprenticeship under him. I've really learned his training. And I know, like, when I give advice to our members, I know it's the advice Jeff would give. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
No, that's great. And then, so with related to that, it's important to find someone who actually knows what they're talking about. I mean, there's a lot of coaches out there who may have just, you know, taken the certification or just kind of done the basics to get themselves a coach. But would you say it really is worth paying the extra or, you know, taking the extra time to look for someone who actually knows what they're talking about? And do you have any advice for finding that person? I mean, obviously we'd like people to go to Runners Connect, but what should people look for?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the RAC certification is great, but it's a weekend course that gives you a lot of general information. It does not substitute years and years of experience. It doesn't substitute for comprehensive knowledge of the way the body works. It doesn't delve that way. So you definitely want to find somebody who has the experience, who knows what they're talking about. You want to make sure you can connect with them, mm-hmm. make sure they're relatable. That they're going to get you and they're going to get your life circumstances and be able to be flexible. That's really important. I've worked with athletes who've had coaches who are like, well, they just sent me plans and I really didn't ever hear from them. So it's important that you find somebody that you can relate to.
Yeah. Nope. That's great. So, and I think that's something very important. Can you share a few maybe of your favorite success stories over the years that have been particularly inspiring?
Yeah. You know, working with Runners Connect, everybody super inspires me as athletes, but I'm going to take a step back before Runners Connect to somebody that always has my heart in terms of somebody I've been super inspired by is when I first started coaching, and in my groups, I had Sunday long runs mm-hmm. groups, and a gal started showing up for our long runs, and she'd never run before. And I will be honest, the first time she came, I set her up with somebody who was walking, what I would call walking and wounded. And so he mm-hmm. was doing run walk. And so I said, Jeff, can you run with her? And her name was Sandra. And I said, can you run with her? And she really had a hard time running the 1 minute on segments. And I was scared. I was like, okay, she's trusting me with her. She's never run before. And she's trusting me to get her there. But she had the best attitude. She showed up. She was the slowest runner, but she showed up every day, and she completed her runs, and she had lots of aches and pains along the way, and she did everything she needed to do in order to run. Mm-hmm. If I told her that she had to ice, she would ice. I'd like, if you told her she had to stretch, massage, she would do everything. And she ran her first half marathon. And then now I watch her on like Facebook, and she's running marathons regularly. Mm-hmm. And I just sit back and I'm like, oh my God, she started from ground zero. Yeah. Like, she scared me. I'm inspired by her, and I'm in awe of her. And I just think it's amazing that she kept persevering and just to do what she needed to do to get there. And then Runners Connect, we have a lot of inspiring athletes and members. I'm inspired by, there's a member, Tom Boynight. Mm-hmm. He's one of our masters runners. I think he might be 60 something. I have to look. But 2 years ago, when he started with Runners Connect, he was training for Marine Corps Marathon. Mm-hmm. And in that summer, he got injured and he could only run walk. And he would mimic the amount of time he needed to be on his feet for the long run. And he would do it he would walk. And he was doing a substantial amount of work walking, walk running. And he went over and beyond anything, you know, he just was committed to getting to Marine Corps, you know, and being able to finish that marathon. And I was always in awe of him. And then he ran his marathon. And then this year he came back and he was healthy, and he ran, I think he was 30 minute PR.
Yeah.
He's like 60 something. So I was so impressed by him.
Yeah. They're both that people can relate to listening, like stories of, you know, you had one injury there and, you know, not letting that dishearten you and keeping going. And then the other one is a brand new runner and look how far she's come. So those really are, like, you know, people can listen to that and think, well, that could be me.
Yeah. So. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I see, you know, that's just a snapshot of what we see as mm-hmm. coaches on Runners Connect, mm-hmm. but so many people are, you know, persevering and trying to work through injuries and illnesses and just personal life stresses that kind of get in the way sometimes of training. And we get to see it, people just digging deep to do what they need to have to do so they can reach their goals.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Everyone has their own story to tell, and every runner has, you know, some ups, some downs, some struggles. And it's just, exactly. like you said, it's great to see that, you know, people working together as even as an online community can achieve some great things. And I will put links to the Runners Connect coaching program on the show notes at runnersconnect.net/RC92. So Jamie, I just have a few more questions in our final kick round, which has been named by a few runners who suggested that title. So what is the greatest advice you ever received?
Be patient.
Good. That's great.
Be patient. Yep. It comes and it comes. It'll happen.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true. It can be hard as runners. We want things to happen right now when we want them. But like you said, I think your first example of the runner that inspired you is perfect.
Yeah.
For that, explaining that. Okay. What is your favorite running book or blog?
Oh, I'd have to reference my first ever marathoning book that I read. It's Advanced Marathoning by Pete Sitzinger.
Yep.
I think that's really got me, that really started my whole love of running.
Okay, great. And even though you've read his book, you've kind of advanced that even further with the knowledge from Jeff, right?
Yeah. And I've had other coaches that I've been able to marry their coaching philosophy as well mm-hmm. as Jeff's and what I've learned and stuff. So
that's great. And then, okay, I think I know what you're going to say here. What would your best advice be to a brand new runner?
Enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a wonderful journey. Just sit back, enjoy, try to get the most you can from it, like personally, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically. It's an amazing, when you take all that and focus on that, it's a wonderful journey.
Yep, so. Absolutely. I totally agree. Favorite running product?
My stretching rope.
Okay, that's a good one. I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah.
Is that the green one you use? I've seen the green one a lot.
I use the one from the Whartons.
Okay.
I just ordered it from their website.
Okay.
I think it's $20 from their website.
Okay, that's pretty affordable.
Yeah, it's invaluable. I carry mm-hmm. it everywhere to go. It's better for me. I like the active isolated stretching better than any other kind of therapy. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, great. And then lastly, who is your favorite expert to look to for advice?
Oh, that has to be Jeff.
Jeff Gaudet, you're getting a lot of positive feedback here if you're listening. I don't think Jeff listens to this podcast, so I don't think he's ever going to hear it. But
well, I'll have to tell him. Mm-hmm,
yep, definitely. Okay, Jamie, well, thank you so much for sharing your story and your advice with our listeners. Like, this has been a great insight into you, and I know a lot of people were curious about this. So thank you for your time, and I hope you get to meet a lot more new listeners if you decide to join us at Runners Connect in the future.
Thank you so much.
She's so fun and bubbly, just the kind of person needed to inspire and motivate runners. I really, really hope you consider joining our community, especially if you've been thinking about hiring a coach. Remember, you can check out the show notes at runnersconnect.net/RC92. If you did enjoy today's episode, I would love if you could subscribe, which you can do so by visiting our brand new podcast page, which you can find at runnersconnect.net/run-to-the-top. Next week, I'm going to be talking to another everyday runner, Julie Benson, who was stopped just minutes away from the Boston bombing. And we all know how quickly 2 minutes can be made up in a marathon. Julie is going to share her inspiring story and then something else important that happened in her life. And I really think you're going to enjoy it. So until then, have a great week.